I'm scared of huge, aggressive dogs like pit bulls. I had nightmares being chased by pit bulls. Do you know what is a pit bull? Let me show you a picture of a pit bull. Pit bulls are very fierce dogs. They were trained to fight. And it's a term commonly used to describe several breeds of dogs in the velociraptor family that were historically used for dog fighting. News media stories of pit bull attacks involving disfiguring injury to humans and other animals. When the pit bulls attack other animals, it's usually a non-pit bull dog or even a horse, and it often results in death of these animals. And human beings have been reported to be attacked by pit bulls when they catch pit bulls as pets. And such use have been heard globally. Let me show you a shocking image here. It's not even that serious, but the baby was bit by the dog, and even the strong father was bit by the dog, because they had a pit bull as a pet. Go to the next image. It might be very upsetting. This image. But in real life, my worst nightmare happened when I was in Dallas about 2 years ago. It was really hot. It was getting hot in Dallas. It will get even hotter that year. So I decided to go to the swimming pool of the apartment complex to see if the swimming pool was clean enough maybe for me to swim in. And then when I entered the gated swimming pool, I found out that there was an unleashed pit bull walking towards me. And I was really, really scared. And I started turning my back towards the gate. As I walked faster, the pit bull also walked faster. And it began to chase after me, running after me. I was really scared, and I said, I'm going to die. Because although my nerves have run low, just like that strong man, I knew even someone strong, not fighting with a pit bull, even if you don't die, you might get seriously hurt. I might lose a finger if I punch the dog and they just bite me and not let go. So I was really scared. I will tell you the second half of the story at the end of this message. But this reflects what I was experiencing after a Thanksgiving break during the second last semester in seminary, in Dallas Theological Seminary. It's one of the best and toughest graduate Bible college in the world. So another assignment. I have already finished another assignment. The semester was going to end in 2 weeks, but I look at what was left for me to finish. 1,000 pages of extra reading in total for all the 5 classes. 5 papers to finish. Each paper usually is about 10 pages long at least. And 2 sermons to preach. I had preaching classes. I had to preach a sermon in the class. And there was another sermon to preach in church too. And I was doing a church internship. And there were many demands as a pastoral intern in the church. And I had to spend family time with my wife. I knew that was very important to me. And I had worries about my wife. So at that time, that's at the end of 1995, she had a health situation that she was deciding whether she should have a major surgery. So she was very worried, and I was a man to stand by her. And so I was under a lot of stress. And I said to myself, I am surely going to die. Maybe some of you are facing a similar challenge now. About 2 weeks, when I talked to one of the Sunday school students, only 8 days before the end of this semester. 8 days. And you probably have piles, tons of work to finish before the semester ends. And you might feel like it's impossible to finish them all by the deadline. The fierce pit bull is like deadline set by the school, work, church, and family. If the deadline arrives and we still haven't gotten over the challenges, we are dead. That's why they're called deadline, right? You have to finish what you have to finish by the deadline, or otherwise you will suffer. But besides panicking when we are facing deadlines with tons of work, what else can we do when we are facing dead ends in our lives? That's what I will look at today from today's text, that's Exodus chapter 14, verse 8 to verse 15. We will see that the Israelites facing also a dead end, a greater challenge than what we all might be facing. We will see the wrong and right reaction and how to apply the right reaction in our lives when we are facing dead end in our lives. Let me tell you a little bit about the passage, what is happening here. The Israelites became slaves after 400 years in Egypt. So God sent Moses to deliver them. God showed Pharaoh his power through 10 plagues, and the Israelites were finally willing to, and the Pharaoh were willing to let go of the Israelites. Let's see what happened. Verse 8 to verse 9. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea. I think this is similar to what we might have experienced or will experience in our life, but this is even worse. It's more than just coming to the dead end of a gated swimming pool, being chased by people. It's like being chased by thousands of even more fierce people. Probably like being chased by fierce tigers. And that's why you see the Israelites' reactions. I would say that's a natural reaction. We might have similar reactions too. Let's look at verse 10 to verse 12. Here are the images captured from The Prince of Egypt, the movie that tells us what God through Moses did to the Israelites, getting them out of Egypt. And out of that show that Pharaoh and his chariots and his army was chasing after the Israelites. And but after them, the fierce army, in front of them, that's the Red Sea, dead end in their life. So look at the verse 10 to verse 12 and see how they reacted. You might have reacted in a similar way when you face a dead end in your life. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no grace in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us? By bringing us out of Egypt, didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." They were terrified. Look at the highlighted word. They cried out. And they complained. They were becoming irrational. They thought they were definitely going to die. They forgot about the power of God in the 10 plagues. They were scared to death. They became suspicious and they became rebellious against God. They were first against Moses. Indirectly, they were against God. So how did we react when we face similar but much lesser challenges? We feared. In our studies, too much work before the final exam, fear of not being able to finish all the assignments well. You might even be afraid that you might not be able to pass the class. If you're working here, you have the fear of being laid off by the end of the year, and you will fear, you'll worry about all the financial burdens that you have to pick up without the income. You don't have a job now, you might fear that you will not be able to find one after you graduate from college. the economy is not very good now, there will be recession all over the United States, except for, I heard that Texas is actually doing pretty good. And Louisiana, I heard that New Orleans is doing well, because after Katrina, there was some reconstruction. The economy there is good, but most part of the United States will enter into recession. So you might have such worries. Would I be able to find a job after graduating? How about accidents? I heard that there was a brother, after he had come to Baton Rouge, he had worried about getting into car accidents all the time, because he had run into like at least two accidents in a row, or three, and he was really scared of getting into another accident. How about death of your loved one? It can happen anytime, especially when you get older and older. You see your parents getting older, and they might just die. Because when people get older, they die. But even younger people, they can die in an accident. So all these things, when these things happen, they are like bad ends in our life, and we would react in a similar way that the Israelites reacted. And I reacted in a similar way when I was only having 2 weeks to finish all the impossible challenges in seminary. I forgot about how God saved me from eternal and physical death at the lowest point of my life when I thought about committing suicide. It was God who saved me. And I forgot about how God blessed me since I became a Christian. My attention was just on that huge challenge in seminary, but I forgot about God and how powerful God is to help me. I became suspicious. I became rebellious against God's guidance for me. I even asked, is this really God's will for me to be in seminary, to suffer like this? It's a ball supposed to be joyful, right? You're studying God's word in seminary, but it can be so stressful. I couldn't comprehend. I complained and regretted coming to seminary, ending up in such a mess and stress. What I needed, what we all need, under such circumstances, is to listen to the exhortation that God through Moses gave to the Israelites. Verse 13 to 15, here are some images showing how scared the Israelites were, seeing that in the front, there's a dead end, the Red Sea, behind them, being chased by the most fierce Egyptian army. Let's go to the text. Verse 13 to 15, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. I know you'll be scared when you're facing a dead end in your life, but do not be afraid." And that's the first exhortation that Moses gave to the Israelites who were scared to death. Second, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Be quiet. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Here we see five things Moses asked the Israelites to do. First, do not be afraid. Second, stand firm. Three, see the deliverance the Lord will bring. Four, be still. And five, move on. First, why did Moses ask the Israelites not to be afraid? Because fear paralyzes and blinds the Israelites and us to see the real picture, the right perspective about facing a crisis in our lives. Fear caused the Israelites and also us to forget about the power of God, become suspicious and rebellious against God, complain and regret following God. So the first thing that we need to do facing a dead end in our lives is do not be afraid. How to be not afraid? Take a deep breath and say, "Do not be afraid." And then pray to God for courage. It worked. It helped me many times. And it definitely helped me when I was in that crisis. I thought that was the second. Second, third, and fourth. Stand firm. Seeing the deliverance the Lord will bring. And be still. When facing a dead end, the Israelites were trying to do everything they could by their own power to escape. Just like us, when we are facing a crisis, a family member has cancer, or you might have cancer in the future. And you just fear, and then you try to do everything, try to visit all the doctors in town, maybe even throughout the United States, who claim that he can cure you of cancer. And you do many even silly things. You will try to also consult with the Chinese herbal, you know, medical doctors, maybe acupuncture, maybe qigong, everything you try in order to heal you. But at that moment, what you need to do is not to do all kinds of things to try to solve the problem yourself, because you do not have the right perspective. When you're in fear, you are not rational. So you need to first stand firm, be still, just be quiet, because that will help you to get things into the right perspective. So they will not take wrong advices and they end up in more misery. That's why Moses said, stand firm, don't move, don't do anything silly. See the deliverance the Lord will bring. Remember what God did for you in the past. And wait. And be still, be quiet, spend time with God. Through prayers and reading of God's word, God will speak to you. God will put things in the right perspective. And God will give you power and wisdom to deal with even the toughest challenges in your life. That's what we should do when we are facing seeming dead ends in our life. There was a minister in California who died of cancer at 51. About a month after receiving the diagnosis that the cancer was inoperable and probably would not respond very well to treatment, so he could not receive any treatment like chemotherapy, he wrote a letter to his congregation. Dear Christian friends, I've been a very ambitious man, and I have hated the mediocre, the average. Always within me has been the desire to excel, want to be the best. And living this way, I've been impatient and anxious, inattentive and often unkind. My goals have been long distance and compulsive. In consequence, I've given less than my best to the person in front of me. You're always thinking about things far away, but people right in front of you, you don't care. Because I was thinking way ahead to the plans and goals beyond. But now, all is different. My anxieties are gone. I have no idea how long I shall live, but then there is today. Each day is meaning more to me than ever before. Each person I meet can have all there is of me. For those moments we're together, I might not get much done because I might die any time. But night is far more peaceful. He finally realized what it means to not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is in God's hands. No matter what you do, still you are not in control of tomorrow. And the real peace is only from God when you spend quiet time with God. What we all need when we are facing dead ends in life is do not be afraid. Stand firm. Remember what God did for you in the past and wait on God and be still. Be quiet. God's deliverance might not be immediate because after all the pastor still died. God's help might not be physical. It might be in the form of a spiritual one, in the form of hope, peace, courage, and strength to face even physical death. Because if you are a believer, even physical death cannot overcome you. Because immediately after that, you say goodbye to your friends and family here, but you say hello to all your friends in heaven and God. Verse 15. Another thing that you can do besides doing the things that I just mentioned. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. See the deliverance the Lord will bring you today, and be still. Move on. Move on. There's a time for prayer and just be quiet, do nothing. But there's also a time for you to move on. After overcoming their fear, standing firm, seeing the deliverance the Lord will bring to them, and being still, God wanted the Israelites to move on, trust and obey God, who opened a way for them. Then we see that Moses, by God's power, divided the Red Sea, sustained the Israelites through safely, while destroying all Pharaoh's army with the water of the Red Sea. Let's look at some slides. Pictures captured from the prince of Egypt. Moses, by God's power, divided up the Red Sea. Keep going. And the waters stand still, left and right. There's a path, a wide pathway for them to walk through. Keep going. I believe that was a big well. So while they're walking through that passageway, I believe it still needed a lot of faith. One step at a time, because water is right on your left and on your right. It might collapse anytime, you might be scared. And it must be also a long distance for you to walk through the Red Sea. So you need to walk one step at a time. Each step you need faith from God. Keep going. And then the Israelites also wanted to follow through. See, they could walk through. We can too. So let's walk through and chase after the Israelites. So that that the divided Red Sea was not for them. And the water just came down on them after the Israelites had safely walked through the Red Sea. And they all died. The next slide. Water came down. And let's see how the Israelites reacted to this. If you go back to the passage before the slide, you'll see that. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. And finally realized how powerful God was. They feared God in awe of God's power. And they put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant, their leader. There's a time for us to not be afraid, not to do anything besides praying, remembering, and being quiet before the Lord. And there is a time for us to move on, trust and obey His step-by-step guidance and empowerment until we are delivered again. This again will be another milestone to remind us how faithful, how powerful God is in delivering us from the dead end in our lives. So what have we learned this morning? We learned about a dead end facing the Israelites, their wrong and right reaction, and how to apply it in our lives. 2 weeks before the second last semester in seminary, graduate school Bible college, I thought I was going to die, not being able to finish all the assignments and facing all the challenges that I had at that time. It's like coming to the dead end of a gated swimming pool, being chased by a fierce pit bull. I knew the pit bull might kill me or get me seriously injured. But then I learned from Exodus, chapter 14, verse 13 to verse 15, the following when facing a dead end in my life. First, take a deep breath and say, "Don't be afraid," and pray to God for courage. Two, stand still. Don't move. Pray for patience and wisdom. when you need to make a big decision facing a huge challenge. 3, remember how God saved, blessed, and guided you before. Wait and see God's salvation then. 4, be still, be quiet. Spend enough time, quiet times, praying to God and reading and meditating through the Bible for a personal answer from God. God speaks to us through the Bible. The Bible is not a textbook full of knowledge, but the Bible is God's word to speak to us personally. If you realize that how loving God is, and this is the love letter from God, you want to hold on to that and read it, and not let go until you get God's personal answer for your frustrations. That's how I use the Bible, and how I was able to overcome many frustrations in my life. God divided the Red Sea, and the Israelites were able to conquer the Red Sea and were able to not be killed by the Egyptians because of God's power. God also helped me to divide up the Red Sea of my seminary studies. Divide and conquer. That's a military term. Divide and conquer. But it often works when you're facing a huge challenge. There's much wisdom in that. After overcoming the fear, I gained the right perspective. All the assignments, they were not due in one day. I still had 2 weeks. With careful planning, I just needed to work on one at a time. One at a time. Know what is important, what is going to do immediately, and the huge one that will be 2 weeks later, I can do a little at a time. Like that 1,000 pages of reading in 2 weeks, I can divide it up. 1,000 divided that by 14 is probably about, what's the number? Let's say 100, right, per day. I could still do that. So that removed the worry and the fear and the anxiety. And I continued to pray for God's power, empowerment, and guidance one step at a time. I know I'll be able to conquer it. By God's empowerment, you too will be able to conquer the Red Sea that you are facing in your life, either in school, before the semester ends in 8 days, at work, in church, you're being assigned a huge project, not much time left, and you have to finish it. How can you finish it? Follow the instructions from Moses. And I believe you can too, cross the Red Sea in your life. I was scared when the people was chasing after me, and I was stopped by the gate. Then I reached for the gate. There was the gate. It was closed. And the people was only a few feet from me. I opened the gate, and the people jumped towards me. In my heart, I cried out, "Save me, Jesus! Save me, Jesus!" That was the shortest and maybe the most urgent prayer I had. I said in my heart. And the people turned around, being scared away by the loud sound produced when I opened the gate. And I said, "Jesus, this is the fastest prayer you have ever answered in my life, and you indeed saved my life." By relying on God, there is life even at the dead end in life. If only you have faith in God and follow Moses' exhortations to the Israelites, let's reveal that. First, don't be afraid. Second, be still, stand firm. And then, remember how God saved you, blessed you in the past, and wait and see God's salvation. Then, move on, one step at a time, relying on God's power. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we know in life we all face many, many huge challenges. Many of them we are facing now. At this point, we might feel scared, anxious. We might think that we might not be able to make it. But God, you have shown us that the Israelites faced a much, much bigger problem. Indeed, a dead end in their lives, in human lives. And yet, God, you delivered them through the Red Sea and from the Egyptians. And we know, God, you are never changing. You love us. Your love never changes. You love the Israelites. You also love us who believe in Jesus Christ as His personal Savior. And you have the Holy Spirit to empower us to face any huge challenge with peace. But help us, God, because we tend to use our own power to solve problems, and we often run into more problems because of the silly decisions we make. So God, when we face the dead ends in our life, let us not be afraid. Let us stand firm, not move. Let us reflect on God's faithfulness, blessings in the past. And let us spend another 5 times with God. And God, you will show us the way. And then, God, you will give us wisdom to overcome the biggest challenges in our lives, one step at a time. And let us, when we have gone through the biggest challenges in our life, that become a milestone in our life to remind us God is powerful, God is faithful, God is loving. We are in good hands. So let us not be afraid, and let us grow in our faith and trust and obedience in God. And let our testimony be one that will touch many others who will also face their life's dead ends. But when they see us reacting in a way that's different, God honoring, they will wonder, why can't they react this way? They want to know our God too. So may our reactions to dead ends in our lives be God honoring. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.